Good evening, Calvary City Church. It's so good to see all of you in our Saturday evening service, and we're so glad that you can join us today via Facebook and our YouTube Live. If you're new to us today, make sure that you don't rush off after the service. Do join us in our welcome launch. Click the link and you can be accessed to us. And if you need a prayer, our pastors and our leaders are ready to pray for you in the prayer healing room. So make sure that you click the link before you go. All right, are you ready for the Word of God today? I'm always excited to be bringing the Word of God because I know God has already installed something for us this evening. And I believe this Word that I will be bringing this evening will bring conviction. All right, it will challenge you. And probably for some of you, it will empower you. So if you are ready for the Word of God, make sure that you take out your notes, take out your Bible, and get ready to write down some PowerPoints. Amen? Our theme for this year, all right? Our theme for this year, 2021, will be, how will they hear? As they are showing you on the screen right now, how will they hear? How shall they hear without a preacher? And this theme is actually taken from the text in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I believe this verse is so timely, especially for believers right now. As a church right now, I believe it is so crucial and timely because of what is happening in the world. What is happening around us right now, because of the pandemic, it has caused us as human beings to focus on ourselves more. We tend to want to have the tendency to protect ourselves more, to have the tendency to care for our well-being more, our health, and even our finances. Even when we pray, right? Even when we pray, we would pray prayers that would directly impact ourselves and our loved ones. Prayers that are focused more towards ourselves and our loved ones, the people that we care. You know, prayers such as like, Lord, would you bless me during this critical period of time? Lord, would you help me in my studies as I go through this pandemic and I need to take my exam soon? Lord, would you give me an open door for a job that I'm looking for? Lord, would you protect me from viruses that are not good, you know, that are harmful to me? A prayer that is focused more on ourselves than others, you know. But I mean, I'm not saying that these prayers are not good. Of course, we need to pray prayers like that, sure. But my question is, what about the rest? What about the others? What about those people that do not know Jesus? What about those people that have no access to our Heavenly Father? What about those that have not even heard the name of Jesus? They can't call on the name of the Lord because they have not believed in the name of the Lord. How can they believe in the name of Jesus if they have not heard of the name of Jesus? And how can they hear the name of Jesus without anyone sharing with them the good news of Jesus? Church, every single one of us are called to be the salt and the light, right? We are called to be the salt and the light. But how are we the salt if we don't bring flavor into the life of others? And how are we the light of the world if we don't shine, especially in time of darkness? You know, this is why today I would like to focus our attention in the next part of Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 verse 15. I would like to focus our attention in Romans chapter 10 verse 15 today. It says, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? Unless they are sent. And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Amen? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring out good tidings of good things. Come on, I entitle my message today, I am sent. Come on, repeat after me. I am sent. Come on, declare this over yourself. I am anointed, I am appointed, I am sent. Amen? When I first read Romans chapter 10 verse 15, my focus was initially placed on the phrase, unless they are sent. My entire sermon, I wanted to focus on this word, unless they are sent. But at the same time, church, how can I not focus on the word of God when he says, how beautiful are the feet? Okay, church, I want you to take a moment and think about it. Out of all the parts in the body, all right, out of all the parts in the body, the word of the Lord actually focuses on how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. And I was thinking, why feet? I mean, feet is not something that people would admire. Feet is not something that we were often thought of as something beautiful, you know. No one admires and say, hey, wow, you got such beautiful feet, you know. Nobody actually says that, you know. And when you go to a stranger's house or meet somebody for the first time, you know, people will take attention to your face, people will take attention to how you look or probably how you dress. Nobody will say, hey, wow, you're really good looking, lah. Your feet really beautiful, lah. Nobody will actually say that. You know why? That's weird, all right? That's weird. But somehow, in Romans chapter 10, verse 15, it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace? You know, I was thinking, Lord, you could have said, you know, how beautiful are the eyes for they carry the fire of Jesus in their eyes. Or probably even, how beautiful are the hands, you know. Some people, they admire hands because your hands are so smooth, you know. Because the hands carry the works of the Lord. But why the feet? You know, it's so weird to actually think about, hey, your feet is so beautiful, you know. I had no choice but to stop here in this phrase and ask the Lord for a revelation. I had to stop and ask God for a revelation. Lord, why did you say how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace? You know, and then as I was asking, as I was seeking the Lord intensely for a revelation, why he said how beautiful are the feet, I started realizing that the word of God said, how shall they preach unless they are sent? Which also means that the Lord has commissioned us to be sent out, right? The Lord has already commissioned us to be sent out to preach the good news. But how many of you know that knowing is one thing, doing is another? I know that today I'm supposed to take out the trash, or even every single day after dinner, I'm supposed to take out the trash. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I will do it, right? I know, supposedly during this pandemic, especially during this coronavirus period, I'm supposed to, after I head out, when I reach home, I'm supposed to shower immediately, right? I know the fact, but that doesn't necessarily mean I'm supposed to, that doesn't really mean I need to do it, or I will do it, you know? You know, as a Christian, it is your responsibility and your burden and your passion to share the good news. But that also doesn't necessarily mean you will do it. Knowing one thing is, knowing and doing is two different things. Knowing is one thing, doing is another. So when I asked the Lord, Lord, give me a revelation, suddenly I had this. I had such an enlightenment. What we do with what the Lord has said to us is the key. The key is obedience in submission. What we do with what the Lord has called us to do is the revelation to this verse. Because you choose to obey the word of the Lord, to submit to His word, to choose to go forth and preach the gospel of peace, to preach the good news, even when you're uncertain how to do it, the Lord will bless you. That even your feet, that is commonly a part of your body that is not take note of, that nobody appreciate, that nobody admire, will start beaming and start glowing with the glory of God. That is why it says in the Word of God, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. The Word of the Lord will start beaming from the inside out, that until even your feet will be so beautiful that people will start taking notice of. Isn't that amazing, church? What a revelation. What a revelation. Come on, somebody say amen. Because you choose to do the works of the Lord, to preach the gospel of peace, to bring good tidings of good things, you and your household will be blessed. Not just your feet will be beautiful, your entire being will be beautiful. It will start beaming from the inside out. Small things with big obedience brings great revival. Come on, somebody say amen. Small things with big obedience. You may not know how to share the good news to people, but as long as you try, as long as you don't give up and just say, you know what? The Lord has commissioned me because I am sent. And the word of the Lord say, how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of his. So even though I do not know, I'm just going to do it. Just like how the Nike slogan says, just do it. I'm just going to do it. And I'm gonna preach the good news, whether or not I know the techniques, whether or not I know how to do it, I'm just going to do it. And because you do it in obedience, even in the small things, but with big obedience, it's going to bring great revival. Come on, somebody say amen. I believe that with all my heart, every seed that is sown is an opportunity for someone to know Jesus as their personal Savior. Every seed is an opportunity. Come on, everybody repeat after me. Every seed is an opportunity. And every opportunity is a divine appointment. Come on, somebody say amen. Every opportunity is a divine appointment. There is no such thing as, oh, it's not a good time to share. It's not the right time to share yet. No, there is no such thing. All the time, everybody say all the time. All the time is the right time to share the gospel. All the time is a good time to share the gospel. And I want to share with you a testimony of personally, all right, a personal testimony of mine that I have a very, very close friend, a best friend, I would say. And I've been sharing the gospel, I've been sharing the good news with my friend for quite some years, okay? But because of unbelief and because we are too close, you know, we are too close, my friend actually take me lightly and say, oh, yeah, yeah, Jesus, oh, okay, and just basically brush me off. Every single time when I share the good news to my friend will just say, oh, yeah, hey, last time you told me already. So in my human mind, I would think, hey, I don't need to share it, what? You know, I don't need to share it. I mean, I share so many times, this person still don't want to believe in what I believe. So what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to give up and stuff like that? And I just want to share with you, church, in last 2 weeks, I was catching up with my friend. In last 2 weeks, I was just catching up, like, just like old friends, you know, we talk about everything under the sun, you know, we catch up. And we were talking about three to four hours over Zoom. Because my friend is in Singapore and I'm in Malaysia. So for a very long time, we have not talked. So 3 to 4 hours, we were catching up. And suddenly, even as we were talking, totally out of topic, totally out of context, the Lord just prompted me, son, I want you to share the good news once again. And I was thinking like, Lord, I've done it so many times, but my friend is not willing. And I remembered that the Lord told me once, every seed is an opportunity. Every opportunity is a divine appointment. And so when I remember that, I share the good news once again, even though we were talking about something that's totally not about God, I suddenly just cut the conversation. Say, hey, I know I'm going a little bit of astray, but can I just share with you what God has done in my life? And I start sharing testimonies. I start sharing what God is doing in my life. And I start sharing the good news and the gospel of Jesus. And on that night, somehow, it's so different as compared to so many other times when I shared the good news. Somehow that night, I just feel so strongly the anointing and the prompting and the moving of the Spirit. And I just went all out and I said, hey, look, Jesus is not just available for me. Jesus is available for you too. And all you have to do is just invite Jesus into your life, you know. Would you like to give Jesus a chance, to give him an opportunity to come into your life? You know, to be your Savior, to be your Lord, to be your friend. I mean, there's nothing to lose. And my friend, being the skeptical person that my friend is, took some time. And like, yeah, Jesus, you last time told me before. But suddenly on that night, I believe it's only by the Holy Spirit, my friend said, you know what, Derek? I think I've been running away from this for quite some time. I'm willing to give it a try. And in all surprise, in all shock, I was so surprised that my friend tonight said, you know what, I'm going to give Jesus a try. And you know what I did? I just led her to the sinner's prayer and I just prayed for her. Over Zoom, I just prayed for her. And the presence of God just came upon my friend. In entire room was filled with the presence. And my friend even said, wow, I feel so much peace. I've never felt a peace such as this, a peace that is so comforting, you know. And I started prophesying over her, started praying over my friend. And you know what? My friend accepted Jesus as a personal Savior. Come on, somebody say amen. You know, no matter how many times you think that you have sowed the seed, let me tell you something, it is not in vain. It is not in vain. And you know what? That's not the best part of the testimony. This is the best part of the testimony. Just a few days ago, my friend actually texted me. Okay? My friend texted me and said, thank you so much for introducing Jesus into my life. You know what? I just want to share with you that even my mom is so interested about the change that's happening in my life that she wants to know who this Jesus is. And we are both going to church. Wow, come on. Somebody say amen. When you are saved, your household will be saved. Some of you are praying for your family to be saved in Jesus' name. I believe the time is coming and I believe the time is now. There is no such thing as a bad time to share the good news. All the time is a good time to share the good news, because you will never know when they will accept Jesus, and you just got to keep sharing the goodness of God. Romans chapter 10 verse 17. All right, I'm going to go quickly. My time is rushing. Romans chapter 10 verse 17, it says, so then, faith comes by hearing and what? Hearing by the word of God. Hearing and hearing. The principle is simple, church. The principle is simple. The more you share, the more they hear. The lesser you share, the lesser they hear. It's a simple principle. And as believers, you know, we ought to keep sharing the goodness of God to others until, everybody say until they become aware that God can be good to them as well. And when that happens, that will be the moment of their salvation. Come on, somebody say amen. Keep sharing the good news. It's okay. There is nothing for you to lose. Keep sharing the good news. Keep being aware of the goodness of God in your life and share with others. And they will start realizing that the goodness of God is relevant to you. It will be relevant to them. They will start realizing that I can also have this access to the goodness of God. And that will be the moment of their salvation. God has called us to be the light of the world. What's the point of being a light if we are not shining in the dark places? When someone is going through problems, a phase of darkness, we as believers of Christ are called to shed the light of God into their lives. All right? Romans chapter 10 verse 15, it says, how shall they preach unless they are sent? God has already anointed us. Everybody say anointed us. Anointed us and appointed us to preach the good news. God will not send you out unless He knows He has given you the tools and have given you the anointing to do it. So therefore, you and I, we are already anointed and appointed to be sent out to share the good news. And we, on the other hand, we need to realize that each and every one of us are the sent ones to win the lost for Jesus. Not just the pastors, not just the leaders, not for those people that you think are holy, that praise 24/7 a day or even 1 hour a day. It's not just for them. The Great Commission is for every single believer, every single one of us that has said, Jesus, I believe in you and I believe that you are my Lord and Savior and I give you my life. If you have said this prayer, you are one of those people that are sent out, all right? You are chosen and are appointed and are anointed to be sent out to preach the good news, not the pastors. So stop having this mindset that thinking, oh, it's the pastor's responsibility to preach the good news. No, 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 no. It's every believer's responsibility to share the gospel of Jesus. No one, okay, take note, church, no one is not good enough or not qualified enough to share the good news. No one is too old or too young to share the good news. No one, all right? And I want to share with you a story about my grandma. Okay, my grandma, from my mom's side, okay, she is extremely a staunch Buddhist. Okay, she's a very staunch Buddhist. And my mom has always asked me, Derek, share the gospel to grandma, share the gospel to grandma. And me and Joyce will always try to find opportunity whenever she's in town to share the good news to my grandma. But somehow she just responds like that, okay. You know, it doesn't really, you know, help me, you know. She's like totally just, you know, not entertaining me and just brushing me off. And one day, after I got married, I returned home. And my mom actually told me, I said, hey, you know what? Your grandma received Jesus. I said, what? This is such a big news. Why you didn't tell me? And my mom told me that my neighbor, a 74-year-old grandma, all right, shared the good news to my grandma and grandpa that they are so convicted at that moment while they are in the house, they accepted the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. Come on. You don't have to be too old or too young to share the gospel. The gospel is relevant to any age. This grandma is 74 years old and she's still burning. She's still on fire for the Lord. Are you on fire for the Lord? Come on, church. If a 74 years old grandma can do it, I believe you can too. All right? The good news is called the good news for a reason. The news of today, all right, the news that you're watching today through the TV are meant to let people to know what are the recent happenings, all right? But here's the thing, all right? The news that you watch in the TV has an expiry date, right? It has an expiry date. It may be relevant for probably a week, maximum a month. But here's the thing, the good news has no expiry date. Come on, somebody. The good news has no expiry date. The good news is relevant to everyone at every time. Wow, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? The news that you watch may be relevant to you, maybe this week or even a month, but the good news is relevant to anyone at any point of time. That is why it's called the good news. The word good, I believe so, all right? The word good in the good news is not the same word as the English word good, as described as a dictionary. The word good in the good news derived from the Heavenly Father itself, reflecting His good nature to all mankind. More than it being a good news, it's actually a superb news. Come on, somebody agree with me and say amen. It is actually a superb news. The good news is more than good. It's a superb news. That's why in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Church, I want you to understand this. The Spirit of God is in you for your sake. But the Spirit of God is on you for others' sake. Come on, let me repeat that. The Spirit of God is in you for your sake, to empower you, to help you, to comfort you. But the Spirit of God that is upon you, that is on you, is actually for others' sake, so that others may feel the presence, so that others may know who this Jesus is. All right? So what are some of the ways that we can share the good news to those around us? If you're taking now notes, I have 3 points. So what are the ways that we can share the good news to those around us? Number one, know your Jesus story. Know your Jesus story. Be prepared to share the good news as and when it's required. So for those that of you that, you know, you need to prepare, you know, you're not caught off guard. You're always prepared. You're always ready whenever you need to share the good news. Even if you're walking in a supermarket or even in the pasar, you know, if God calls you to share the good news, you wouldn't say, "Aiya, I dress like an auntie. Aiya, I'm not ready. Aiya, I don't have my script or my notebook." No, be ready as and when it's required. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2, 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2, it says, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching." Be ready in season and out of season, because the gospel is relevant to everyone at every time. All right? Of course, there is an easy guide that you can help yourself to prepare for those of you that are wanting to know how to prepare to actually share the good news. All right? I have an easy guide to actually help you, and we want to use the 5 W's and 1 H. Okay, the 5 W's and 1 H. Who, what, where, when, why, and how. So who is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. What did He do? He died on a cross for you and I and rose again on the third day. Why? So that our sins will be forgiven and our relationship with the Father can be reconciled. So where can I receive Jesus? Right here, right now. Because He is not confined in a building or a church, but He is relevant to you right here, right now. All right? When can I receive Jesus? Just now it's where, now it's when. When can I receive Jesus? Anytime. As long as you're ready to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, all you have to do is just invite Him into your heart. How? Say this prayer together with me. And then you lead your friend or your neighbor or the person that you just met into the Lord's Prayer. Okay, into the sinner's prayer. So that's number one. Know your Jesus story. All right? You can prepare your 5 W's and 1 H in order to keep yourself equipped when the time requires you to share. Number two, sharing of testimonies. All right? Sharing of testimonies. What are testimonies? Testimonies are the awareness of the goodness of God in your life. All right? You are aware of the goodness of God in your life. So basically, you share what God has done for you throughout the week or throughout the month. All right? There is no such thing as big or small testimony. All right? I believe that. All right? That's my personal conviction. There is no such thing as big or small testimony, as every testimony is an intervention from God. And you will never know, those insignificant testimonies that you share will bring the greatest impact to those around you. Come on, somebody say amen. All right? So number two, sharing of testimonies. Number three, all right? How do you share the good news to others? Number three, show care and concern to those around you. All right? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Wow, isn't that amazing? People don't care how much you know how much you care. Don't be so eager to shove the gospel down people's throat and say, "You gotta believe in Jesus, you're not gonna go to hell." You know, people will be frightened. But rather, show them how much you care. Show them that God loves them, and naturally, through your actions, people will notice there's something different about you. And they will want to find out, "Hey, why you treat me so good? What's something different? Why I see like you're so different from others?" And that will be an open door for you to share about Jesus. Alright? 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 8, it says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins." I love this. Love will cover a multitude of sins. Let's jump to verse 10. Verse 10, it says, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." So number three, share your care and concern. Show your care and concern to those around you. And I believe with these three tools, you are more than ready, you're more than equipped to be the sent ones, to be the person that will preach the good news, especially during this time. You know, church, right now, I would like all of you to stand to your feet. I'm coming to the close. If you are that person that you want to make a fresh commitment, especially during this period of time, to say, Lord, I know you have called me, but right now, I want to obey you and do it. If you are that person, I want you to just take the next 10 seconds and just make a commitment to the Lord, wherever you are right now. Just make a fresh commitment with the Lord. And say, Lord, I know I'm appointed. I know I'm anointed. I will go. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Here I am, Lord. I'm ready. Come on, just make a fresh commitment with the Lord all across this place. All across this place, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I release such a spirit of conviction, such a spirit of your presence over them right now. That, Lord, even as they make this fresh commitment, Lord, you will help them. You will give them the bonus. You will guide them in how to share the good news to those around them. We bless them, Father. Use them for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. On the next part, if some of you that are tuning in right now, you have not accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, I'd like to extend this invitation to invite Jesus into your life. All you have to do is just simple. Just repeat after me. Close your eyes as we pray. Father, I welcome you into my life. Thank you for giving me a new life. I declare, from today onwards, all things have gone. All things have become new. I am a new creation. Thank you for this new life. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. If you've said that prayer for the first time, we'd like to welcome you to our family. Please don't rush off after the service. Our welcome lounge is open for you, and our pastors are ready to greet you and meet you and tell you more about Jesus. Now, church, we're going to go into a time of communion. So head of the house, do get your communions ready. And if you're ready with your communion at your hand, let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your awesome presence. We thank you that God, you're such a good God. Even as we're going to partake the communion, Father, right now, help us to remember what you have done on the cross for us. In remembrance of your goodness, in remembrance of your sacrifice, to reconcile our relationship back to the Father, to reconcile us back to you, Father. And I thank you that our sins are forgiven. Bless this communion. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everyone say, Amen. Church, holding the bread and the cup in your hands, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 26. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, after giving thanks, he broke it and said, "Take it, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this as often in remembrance of me." And in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, it says, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by the punishment by the chastisement of his peace that was upon him, by the stripes, we are healed." So right now, I want you to take this bread as a healing token, as a miracle token over yourself and over those around you. In Jesus' name, let's partake of the body together. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As the body of Christ, let's partake of the cup together. Now I want you to put your cups down. And everyone all across this place, whether in your living room or bedroom, I want you to just lift up your hands right now, like that. Alright? Just lift up your hands right now. Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for the healing. I thank you for the miracle. I thank you for the conviction. I thank you for all the goodness that you have blessed me and you're about to bless me. And I know even as I go out or go away from this service after this, you will continue to speak to me. You will continue to give me fresh encounters. And I believe, Lord, that I am sent to preach the gospel. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Church, God is with you. He loves you. And thank you for tuning in to our service. Do join us in our welcome lunch and our prayer healing room if you need a prayer right now. Have a good day, church. With this, the service over. We love you. God bless.